Oh yeah, ladies and gents, we're back for another enthralling episode of the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. And in this episode, I don't know, me and Jeremy talk about Xbox and a bunch of other shit, and stuff happens. You guys know the format by this time. Although this is a two-parter, so if you haven't listened to part one, you might want to go back one episode just so you're on the same page. And this time, Jeremy comes with his own song for My Bloody Valentine. Stay tuned for that. But if I could just ask you from the bottom of our hearts, in the season of love that is Valentine's Day, look down at your Apple podcasts or your Stitcher, your iTunes, whatever you listen to us on. Drop us that 5-star rating. It means the world to us, costs you absolutely nothing, and just helps us out in general. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for the continuation of My Bloody Valentine.
Kiddies, it's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
He has problems with just talking and breathing,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he's been stroked out, so.
But that happens sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that's the end of his career.
Ugh. Unless they find that right stroke victim part for him.
So I finally plugged in my Xbox One and figured out I was paying for Live and absolutely not using it.
Oh, so now you're back in Live. What's your Live handle?
Boba Dork.
Are you going to friend me on Live? I feel like I don't see you on there.
I even chatted you.
I don't see you on there.
So you just don't even notice my messages.
I don't. I've never seen a message from you.
Wow.
Are you just sending it to the wrong Shark Rugger Easy? Maybe.
No.
Do you want to play a game later?
Yeah.
I've been playing.
Maybe play me some Apex.
I've been playing the bonus games for Resident Evil 2, and they're really fucking hard. Like, ridiculously hard to the point where I want to give up and not play the game
anymore.
So
there are bonus games, but they're not co-op, though.
No, they're not co-op games. They're like, if you play the Resident Evil 2 remake, they have these little sub-games that are like characters that you ran into, like, during the game.
They're not like the Mercs, are they?
It's a mercenary-style game, though. It's very similar to the mercenary-style games. But you got to make it through the thing. Like, there's one... First of all, there's this fucking amazing sub-game that you play called... when you remember the little girl Sherry from the original Resident Evil 2? The girl that hangs out with Claire and stuff like
the
that?
The one that likes to do it?
The one... Yes. I can do it! No. Well, in the original Resident Evil 2, she comes back. It's like a little girl, and there's certain parts where you have to play. But they added this little mini-game within it where... She gets abducted by the police chief, and you have to run away from the crazy police chief. And it's like a total, like, Shining-type-esque adventure you have to go on, where the like police chief's like, the longer you run from me, the worse it's gonna be! You better get out here now! And you have to, like, hide in, like, these little nooks and crevices. You end up splashing acid on his face, and now he looks all scary and trying to kill you. And, they have a sub-game because in his office there's this dead body of this girl, and you get to play her game, which is trying to escape there, like if she had lived. And, God,
called Weinstein Level 1.
I've gotten so far through this game, but they just throw wave after wave of people at you, and you just can't kill them all. You just... And there's so many dogs, and the dogs are just hard to hit.
You know, my other favorite add-on is Escape from Orgy Island with Epstein, so...
Escape from Epstein Island.
Yeah, so And then eventually you meet Hillary Clinton and she kills him. So.
Well, hey, well, welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth, and I'm joined by my brother, Jeremy P. Woodworth. How are you doing, sir?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who will be joining us on tonight's
program? It's me, the star of the film, Bill Hader.
Bill Hader. Yes, I don't think he was right. in this movie
at all. I am actually eternal.
All.
I am the same actor. You can't tell the difference. Either okay. that or I'm Robbie Robertson from the band.
Okay.
Same actor. Otherwise known from the movie Carney with Jodie Foster.
Welcome to Carney. I haven't seen Carney before. Is it good?
Hells yeah.
They talk about,
Gary Busey.
They talk about the movie Carney a lot. It's one of the favorite movies of, like, people in the wrestling world. Because that's where the word kayfabe comes from.
It has nothing to do with wrestling. It's Carney as in carnivals.
Well, professional wrestling started within carnivals, so it makes sense. Well, a lot of the phrases that they use come from carnivals because that's how professional wrestling started. They were like, this is our champion. Anybody can wrestle him. And they used to, obviously, you know, we all know what wrestling is. They're fake. It's play fighting. But they would challenge people in the audience to come up. So they usually make their champion good enough that, like, if a random person came up, they could still beat the hell out of them if they needed to.
I only like intersex wrestling where a man dominates a woman,
yes.
like Andy Kaufman.
But
so.
the term that comes from there, the term mark comes from there, which is where they used to mark people with chalk that they thought had money. Like if when they paid for their ticket. Some little kid would come by and mark the back of their pants with chalk.
And then
so
roll
you knew.
Them later?
So when you're walking through the carnival, people would say, oh, that's a mark right there. That's a guy who's got money. We should try to sell to him. Mm. And anybody without a mark, fucking useless. We don't need them.
And then they were dead and left behind when the circus moved on. So.
Exactly.
So.
Or they become part of the circus. Now you're a fish boy.
They're a new headless freak that just sits there with the barely conscience. So,
and the term kayfabe comes from there too, which means that yes, people know it's fake, but we only talk about it being fake within the community. Otherwise, we always put forth the show that it's real to everybody.
Well,
else.
I'm already like not a fan of wrestling, but today I saw a special video of Bernie Sanders going up to watch some wrestling, so that makes me hate wrestling even more. So. I see you guys are wrestling up there. I don't know what's going on.
Hello, I am Bernie Sanders, and I want you to know I haven't taken any private donations from major corporations because I don't want people to be successful, period. Although, if you also want to be America not successful, please donate to me immediately.
I do, in fact, love Larry Sanders more for him playing Bernie Sanders, though. So,
yes, Gary Shandling.
Gary Shandling, yes. Larry Sanders.
So,
Larry Sanders isn't the guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm. What is
Curb Your Enthusiasm. Everybody knows about it. You ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
If it isn't Larry Sanders, what's his fucking name then?
Gary Shandling is his real name.
It's Larry Jewison, yes.
Larry David. Okay.
I know it's a Jewish name.
I'm Larry David. Okay.
Larry David, yes.
That's what I said, man.
Larry Sanders, Larry David, whatever.
So you were really talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm this entire time. Okay.
Yeah, and he also played him with, when he was on Saturday Night Live, he played Sanders.
Makes sense. I like where you're at. Hey, Jeremy, can I do a big plug up at the top here?
I don't know. It's your show.
It's our show.
It's our show. I am just the guest on every show.
Jeremy, I'll let you know when you die in the next year.
Yes.
This show isn't called Quality Time anymore. I might do something after you die, but
back to the rugby. This show
is you and me, bro. This is it. This is our thing. This is why we're here. So I wish we still had Kim. I feel like there's a hole in our heart. Our old guest, our old host, Kim Ambrose, now Kim Callahan.
What if I still might be able to Skype when I'm still in jail from my crimes before I get gassed or, you know, electrocuted? Does that mean I still get to be part of the podcast?
Yeah, 100%. Dude, you fucking create... They find the bodies that are, like, hidden in your basement. But we'll still do it from jail.
But just think of what it'll do to the numbers, though.
I'll come and do a full visit. I'll bring a fucking portable recorder. We'll just record it from prison.
through the plexiglass hole. So.
Hey, let's welcome our guest today. T-Boz. T-Boz.
T-Boz is Jeremy's new husband.
Yeah. This is my main bitch, Jeremy. He said he had a podcast that I could be on.
By the way,
T-Boz, what do you think of the film Street Trash? He was just like, man, this motherfucker is street trash. Like that. That would be.
By the way, I don't know if it's because of this that Midgets Are Awesome is blowing up on Facebook, but. I try to find something new since I've got so many members now, and I found a guy who had been in prison who talked about midgets in prison, and always the question was, did they get raped because they were midgets? And the guy's like, no, he was a hard midget, man. He'd shake the hell out of you if you
raped him. Midgets are deadly in jail. They gotta be double hard to make it in these streets.
And always how they also like to play basketball. Even though they're a midget, they can still have game, which I thought was equally funny. So.
Hey, I'll let you know, in the post, that midget was not great, but his three was wet.
And I've only had one problem so far, because I pretty much will accept anybody. I accepted some guy, and he just started posting the hell out of me with stuff that had nothing to do with midgets. So I'm like, okay, you're blocked, you're gone. You know, I had to like erase like 20 things that he started posting.
Hey, you got it. Sometimes that's what you got to do. People don't adhere to the rules.
And it wasn't even spamming. Like he was like trying to promote something. He was just putting up stupid shit. Like he was almost vindictive. Like, oh man, saying the word midget or something. Like, no, dude, no. Just don't post stupid shit. So,
Oh well. I like that your group has become big enough that now you have to regulate. I like that, Jeremy.
I had to regulate, and I'm very happy for every member, whether it's just people from Quality Time or not.
But back to my big plug 10 minutes ago that I tried to do. Big plug. Hey guys. March 28th, make sure you make your plans for Old Ellicott City. You can see the event page on Quality Time's Facebook page. I'm sure it's up on Instagram and stuff like that. Quality Time Live, March 28th, Old Ellicott City at Unusual Company, which, Jeremy, I can't tell you enough, is going... This is where we need to
cool
live.
There?
Dude, they have, like, Busts of the Predator. They have all types of horror shit. Jeremy, they have a full... fucking Fluffy from the movie Creepshow above the door coming out of the crate, and it is fucking movie authentic.
What if we actually had Adrian Barbeau go there and we could just like bump her against the crate until the Fluffy comes out?
I want that to happen. There's nothing. Is Adrian Barbeau available? That's my first question.
I bet you it costs several hundreds of dollars to get her to come to this.
$60. Tell her we got $60. No hotel fare.
You'll get,
nothing.
You'll get to sleep at my home. And a bag of popcorn, and some free coffee in the morning.
Here's an air mattress that my father died on that is now yours. Enjoy yourself. Please make yourself comfortable. Do not use my children. Please use the go to the basement bathroom, not my children's. I don't want your whorish 80-year-old vagina touching my seat.
Your diseases from being a whore. Gosh.
Hey, speaking of diseases, first of all, my child is incredibly sick upstairs, but earlier...
I didn't even think she was up there because I hadn't heard coughing for 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're avoiding the plague upstairs being down here. I'm sure by the time this is airing, I'm already sick at this point. There's no way I can avoid it being against these little petri dishes of just pure filth. Hey, honey. My wife just walked downstairs into our dank basement. And, so I went to go eat with my in-laws the other day, Jer.
Yeah.
And, listen, my in-laws are very, very... They're the nicest people I know, okay?
Even though Grandpa's going to die soon, so...
Why is Grandpa going to die soon?
Because I told your daughter that, even though I meant to say great-grandfather.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're a monster, and you're saying it in front of my wife, who is staring you down like a cat about to pounce.
I only said that like years ago.
Yeah, and G-Dad's super dead already. I'm glad you brought that up.
He didn't die, did he?
Yeah, he's dead. He's been dead for, like, months now.
Months? I didn't even know.
Yeah, he died before Christmas. Yeah, we all cried.
Well, I wish I would have known.
I'm glad you brought it up in front of my wife, though. That was the best part of this podcast.
I'm not even in the circle. Great.
So, all right, look. No, so I'm eating with my in-laws, Jeremy, and they have a wonderful spread. Listen, they do a great job. We're having this wonderful dinner that they cooked for all of us. It's in a weekday, and there's these two plates of asparagus that are out. And I go and ask my mother-in-law. I go, "Hey, what's the difference between these two plates?" And she goes, "Oh, this is stuff that this asparagus we cooked tonight, and this one is from a day ago." And she goes. And then Jane goes, my daughter, my eldest daughter, she goes, "That's asparagus from a day ago?" And I go, "Please, honey, we call them Italians."
And took me a second. Okay.
Yeah, a day ago, right? Yes. And listen, you would have thought this is the funniest joke I've ever told in my entire life. My in-laws lose like, "What?" "Honey, more WAP asparagus." So it was pretty good. I cracked up my in-laws with that one.
I always thought one of the worst jokes was the first episode of the Sopranos when Tony is driving around trying to shake somebody down, and of course the music is a 50 song going WAP, 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 WAP,
WAP, WAP,
good job, WAP, good job.
So that was my big joke of the week right there, you know.
Day ago.
I also was hanging out with my daughter, my eldest, this morning because I am healthy currently, but my youngest is sick, and so my wife, who is been tending to her, I'm trying to be less handsy, even though it's hard. I give her like hugs and I bring her shit, but like I'm trying to be out of the quarantine area.
Yes.
My wife's going into the fray though, okay? So she's risking it all because I don't get vaccinated, but she does, even though my kid's been vaccinated and she's still getting fucking super sick by
this.
I don't even
get vaccinated for real diseases, so.
Uh-huh. So we're
just
sitting
just
there.
Just in case the plague comes around.
I was hanging with Jane this morning, Jeremy.
Yes.
And we were watching Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Now, listen, recently we have finished the whole Star Wars series. She's watched everything but Rise of Skywalker now. So she's in the Star Wars world. She really likes it. She loves Mandalorian, loves the whole series, right?
Can I tell you the power of the Emperor?
No, let me. Can I finish my story
first?
Because it's not. I know you're going to go off on a tangent.
I just asked if I could.
Now, we're watching it. We're watching Indiana Jones. And she goes, "Daddy, you know what? Indiana Jones looks a lot like Han Solo." Like this. And I looked my sweet child dead in the eye. And I go, "I gotta be honest with you, I don't see it." she has no access to internet, so now she's walking around like these are two different people for the rest of her lives.
Oh, and by the way, the movie Solo looks nothing like Han Solo.
I was just like, yeah, we just watched Solo too. I was just like, it looks nothing like that guy
exactly.
from Solo. What are you talking about? What are you, dumb?
By the way, Chewbacca isn't Chewbacca anymore, so.
Chewie isn't Chewie.
He's not Tom Mayhew. So. Darth Vader is not David Prowse anymore either.
R.I.P.
Although he did a damn good job in that last Rogue One. Man, he was cutting up some people. Woo!
Dude, fucking Rogue One, the end of Rogue One. First of all, Rogue One might be the best Star Wars movie they've made in like the modern era. I'll be honest with you, I am a prequels apologist. I love all of the prequel movies. I'm not crazy about the second one, but one and three
Carrie Fisher
are
young
just,
again made me very verklempt.
Yeah. So
and then I masturbated.
Okay. So I love the prequel films, but I got to be honest with you, Rogue One is the best fucking Star Wars movie outside of the original trilogy that they've ever made. No,
yep.
Or
yep.
It's the only one that's like a real war movie. You know what I mean? Like all the other ones are kind of like you talk about Star Wars. That one is a legit like this is what a war movie is like.
And I hate to say I didn't realize till later that Mr. One Eye wasn't actually Mr. One Eye, the robot guy who saves Rogue One.
Oh yeah, right.
He's actually his brother or his like older brother. with, you know, the guy with the lazy eye or the dead eye. So,
oh, I remember.
I want to say Witherspoon. It's not Witherspoon. It's
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon's brother. Yeah.
Carl
Witherspoon. I never knew that he had a brother that looked almost exactly like him, but older and more, you know, decrepit. So,
oh man,
he's got robot legs.
Jeremy, I don't think we played this in the last episode, but
no, we saved it for this one.
Should we get into tonight's topic?
I think we're far enough into it that I don't spoil anything.
Yeah.
Once we got past Marge's death,
Jeremy, you did a special song for My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah, and it's totally mine. No, it's not. It's not based on another song.
A ridge track. So get ready for a Jeremy Woodworth a ridge. Jeremy.
I totally wrote everything of this song. Everything is original.
All right. Well, here's Jeremy's Woodworth's My Bloody Valentine.
I even did the orchestration. I learned how to play violins. Microphone's off.
This is amazingly good.
My bloody Valentine, nutty cannibal Valentine, you put a pickaxe through my heart. Your suit is blackable, your mask, you're unrecognizable, yet you show me your tits. Are those weenies almost done? Are the clothes ready to run? What's that smell? Oh no, that's not bounce. Don't take your mask off for me. Not if you care for me. Your stupid boyfriend came back to town. Tonight I'm gonna kill like Bobby Flay. Each bloody Valentine is today my bloody Valentine. Brought to you by Tampax.
Jesus, Jeremy.
Yeah. Soak that in, baby.
Wow, what a...
Shimmer, shimmer, gal. Flimmy, meow, meow. Bloody Valentine. Gizzabism.
Jasm flam. Oh, what a beautiful track, Jeremy.
I miss Scatman Crothers so much. If only they had gotten somebody who could actually scat in Dr. Sleep. So,
did you ever see? Have you heard that DJ Cumberbund did a mashup with Scatman?
No.
Oh man, it is good. Here, look, I'll pull it up.
Everything
right here.
He does is good,
dude. It really.
All right, I'm a scat man.
I'm a scat man. Where's the scat man?
DJ Cumberbund.
Excellent.
Yonder of the.
Why does this guy look like BTK?
Which is a tie back to our last episode, because the guy who directed Event Horizon directed Mortal Kombat, who wanted the guy who did the music for Mortal Kombat to do the music for that one. Boom, tying it all together.
Can I say my favorite video from Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
The Mila Jovovich video.
You think so? That was good?
Yes, that was the best that they ever did.
They've done some pretty good music reviews.
Just to see Mila Jovovich rubbing her her naked ass on screen like, whoa! Whoa! Oh my God!
So where we left off in the story last time, Jeremy, is TJ and Axel are in a love triangle with Sweet Sarah. Harry Warden is supposedly back in town. There's a history of him being blown up by methane in the mines. They found him weeks later after he had to feast on the bodies of the dead, and he said that there's no more Valentine's Day parties because he doesn't like those, because that's the reason that the bosses left. Because
I was stuck in a mine for 6 weeks.
And it's all because the bosses wanted to go to the sweet Valentine's Day dance and not do their job, which was check the methane levels.
All they had to do.
So, now we're here. Sweet Mabel has already been killed inside of the laundromat. A message has been sent to City Hall saying, don't throw this fucking dance, otherwise we're going to murder everybody. I feel like the dance should already be canceled. But alas, it has not. So TJ and Axel almost throw hands in the mine while they're working over the love of Sarah. Police chief and mayor take Mabel's body out of the back of the laundromat. As we know, Mabel was murdered, then shoved into a dryer, and then cooked for like the entire night. So she came out looking like Uncle Ben from Star Wars Episode 4. Not looking that great. He tells the people of the town that she died of a heart attack. But before they haul off the body, the police chief finds a Valentine shoved in the giant open cavity within her dead torso.
Look,
hit once. Hit him twice. Cancel the dancer, it'll happen thrice.
Whoa!
Well, that's it. The dance is canceled. Let's tear every poster, every banner, every decoration down and out of sight. I don't want to see a single Valentine's heart anywhere. As long as this town is decorated to the hilt, Harry's going to keep on killing and get that damn Union Hall locked up. All right, Mayor.
At the video store, make sure that there are no movies even having Rudolph Valentino in them. If that isn't thorough, I don't know what is.
So later that night, keep in mind, we're now at Friday the 13th, okay? This is Friday the 13th. TJ goes to go talk to Sarah and says he wants her back. She cries, but you can still see they're still in love. TJ then heads to the bar later that night. Axel questions if he's seen Sarah, and he turns to him and says, ain't my turn to watch her. Come on, bro, come at me.
Can I say that I don't think this movie, Neil Affleck, has any relation to Ben Affleck?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Damn it.
Maybe they are. I don't know.
Maybe it is Ben Affleck's dad.
I don't know. He's very Canadian. Listen, I have a clip that's coming up where you get to hear the full Canadian accent of TJ, and he sounds exactly like Roddy Piper, a man who's also Canadian but played a Scottish man. Canadians are really good at playing people that aren't their nationality and don't talk like them, but we 100% accept it.
There's another thing about this movie that the characters actually sound like the actual members of Guns N' Roses.
Oh, do you think that's a good could take. Okay.
I mean, isn't like one Axel and another one's Slash and another one's Duffy?
You know, Axel, who's in a slasher movie,
yes.
And they ride Huffy bikes. That's the connection there. So.
Well, it's actually Duffy was the bass player.
I know. I went
the brains behind.
I went Huffy. I went Huffy to try to connect it.
And then they eventually became in a band called Stone Roses Liars.
Snakes and Barrels.
Snakes and Barrels.
Yeah. So
very popular with the kids.
Meanwhile, Sarah is outside being stalked by the maniac presumed to be Harry Warden.
Maniac? That's another serial killer movie.
We get a little jump scare, but it's actually only the police chief who runs into Sarah. Meanwhile, the minor kids who work their day jobs in the coal mine are ready for this dance, but they find out that it's canceled. And they decide to throw a party anyway.
Forget about having a party at all tomorrow night, or you'll be sorry.
Hey, lighten up, pal. Piss on Harry Warden and that damn old legend. We're gonna have ourselves a party.
Don't you go telling nobody.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Do you hear how much this guy sounds like Rowdy Piper here? Like, listen.
Legend. We're gonna have ourselves a party.
Come on. Come on now. You know we want to have a good old-fashioned American party here.
You young coal miner kids.
Don't go telling nobody.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
That settles it then. We're going to the mine. We're going to have ourselves a party.
So now there's a party.
During the party, we're going to go into the coal mine for fun. Yeah.
So the kids decide to have their party. We see our sweet bartender heading to the mine on Friday the 13th to set up a little prank. He rigs the door so that there's basically this coal miner's uniform, and when you open the door, it raises a pickaxe. And this guy could not be more tickled. That he set this up. He opens the door multiple times to check it. And I pulled a little bit of audio just so you can hear how happy he is about this.
Damn kids, I'll show them. Piss on Harry Warren, will they? Well, I'll give them a scare they'll never forget.
He's just opening the door, and he's tickled every time he does it. Wait. It's still killing. It's still a killer bit.
10 minutes later.
He did that until it was too late. The kids were... Oh! And he catches a fucking pickaxe to the goddamn chest.
Isn't that ironic?
As Harry Warden impales this guy with a fucking pickaxe and then drags him with the pickaxe to go hide the body. Man, what a fucking scene. But I still can't get over how tickled this guy is. Like, because when I put that much work into it, I'm no longer excited. By the time it's done, I'm like, oh, it fucking works, thank God. But this guy, every time it opens... Best bit I've ever done.
It's pretty much the same I get after that one gif of seeing the groundhog bite the guy's ear.
Oh, man, that's so good.
After the 100th time I've seen it, I'm still laughing like the drunken bartender guy. So
I don't blame you because that's a good-ass bit.
Did you see the commercial for Jeep? Was it me or was it actually Brian Doyle Murray as the same guy?
No, it was Brian Doyle Murray, I believe, anyway.
Man, Brian Doyle Murray, he's got to be pushing 70-something now.
But hey, listen, still looking better than Bill.
He's the older brother of Bill Murray, and he's got to be, man, he might be pushing 80.
But he doesn't look any different than he does from Wayne's World in 1990. He still just looks like an old fucking crotchety man, and I like that. He hasn't really aged since in the last 20 years.
Gosh, Get a Life was like 89, 90, wasn't it?
I know, he played Gus in Get a Life.
Oh,
God,
gosh.
What a great thing.
He had to be in the 50s in then.
Get a Life is such a great show.
He's got to be pushing 80.
So next we see our...
Did you see the new Zombieland?
No, I didn't see it. Was it good? I heard it wasn't great.
Yeah.
I heard it wasn't
great.
It
was well worth seeing.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
I would say it was almost as funny as the original.
So next we see the police chief gets a Valentine. It's just chocolates. So but it says it's from Mabel, the lady who died. So she had a crush on the chief.
Special note that says please change the laundry over.
Please change my body to the wash spin cycle. He was just like, hey, make sure somebody puts it on delicate dry for me, and then that's what he's like, I messed it all up. She just needed to be on delicate dry, and she would have been fine.
They cut the scene before he started masturbating, thinking about her. So that's sweet 60-year-old ass.
So the kids start up the party at the mine, and the clubhouse at the mine is fucking lit. They're having the time of their lives when one of the kids goes to go check on the boiling hot dogs within the kitchen.
Who's that?
And a Harry Warden is right there and then shoves his face into the boiling hot dog pot, and I'm guessing it kills him. It doesn't feel good to get hit with a boiling pot of water.
There's only one danger in this room. It's a boiling pot of hot dogs. I wonder what can happen if you get your face shoved in it.
Which is, you want to know what's fun about this, Jeremy? This is the second boiling pot scene that we've done in recent weeks. If you go back to our sleepaway camp episode.
And that was a really big pot.
That was a much bigger pot. And so they downplayed it from sleepaway camp for this
stole
one.
From who?
Ugh, God. God. Everything is just parody.
The only thing they need
in this
movie is with somebody who's not the right sex they should be. So
yeah. So Warden face plants him into the boiling pot of water and then goes to hide the body within the fridge in the corner. Now next, the old police chief finds some dogs licking a bloody Valentine box of chocolates. He picks up the Valentine top and then sees this.
You didn't stop the party. Stop the party.
What damn party?
So now the police chief knows about a fucking party that's going
on. I'm pretty sure this is the another inspiration for the Beastie Boys. You gotta fight for your right to party.
You gotta fight for your right to eat boiling hot dogs.
Your bosses didn't check the methane, now you're stuck in a mine. Yeah. 6 weeks later, you're eating someone's behind. You come back and somebody's checking out some weenies. Check them out close, they're gonna push you in the weenies.
You gotta fight for your right
for Valentine's Day party.
It is worth to mention, Jeremy, how much like the town folks talk about how awesome this Valentine's Day party is going to be.
This is the only thing they have in this town.
What do you mean? It's Valentine's Day weekend.
What am I going to do? Sip up my Volkswagen?
It is funny how much they hammer that home.
Doesn't he have
like
a Barracuda or like a fancy GTO?
I think so, yeah.
The Bill Hader character.
Next, the old police chief finds that. We already did that. Now, things start to get heated over Sarah at the party between Axel and TJ.
Sarah!
Fists finally start flying. Axel gets kicked out of the party and goes to walk away. Then Sarah asks TJ to just leave her alone. She can't handle the fucking love triangle.
What about the fact that he has his fancy little Levi's jacket open, showing his chest and his lovely sash tied around his neck?
I mean, TJ looks great.
If that doesn't help me get the girl, I don't know what will.
I don't know what's going to happen here.
And then he ends up having hot gay sex later. Oh, gosh.
So meanwhile, we meet two other young lovers who are in like the shower room, starting to get hot and heavy. And there's this weird mechanic, I guess, in the shower room where they just suspend all of the uniforms above like the outside room, so you could just like pull you down your suit and just like, oop, time to hop in my suit like that. Jeremy, have you ever seen this mechanic in a coal mine before?
Well, I go to coal mines like every other week.
Okay.
And Usually I like showers that don't actually have spigots, but they just like crimp the ends of the copper so that it just sprays out where it almost was crimped shut. Yes. It's like, oh boy, you really went out for this gold, for this coal mine, you know, really all expense paid. So I don't know why they died of methane explosions.
So the boy goes and leaves to go get some more beers for these two young lovers, leaving them all alone. Back in the kitchen, they find a boiled heart within the hot dogs. Don't find anything too weird about it. They're like, Steve's playing another trick on us. Classic, put a human heart within the boiling hot dogs. And as that guy who is about to go bang this chick reaches in, he doesn't notice the full dead body of the guy whose face was shoved in the boiling hot dogs. He just grabs his beer and doesn't notice. So back at the other in the coal mine, the girl starts to hear the showers cut on as the presumed Harry Warden starts turning them on. She does the whitest thing in the world, which is go to check a strange noise and starts to declothe herself because, ooh, a shower. Ooh, nothing makes me wetter than this blue collar fucking coal mine and hearing the showers turn on. Finally, she starts to get spooked as the clothes start dropping down from the ceiling left and right of her. When finally she sees the dead bartender with a goddamn hook in his face drop from the ceiling right before her. Then Warden grabs her as she screams and kicks and just gets dragged off into the darkness, presumably to reach a horrible demise. Now, John returns with the beers and notices that it's strangely quiet in here. He pokes around a bit and can hear the shower running. We're like, ooh, things are getting hot and heavy. Oh, so he unbuttons his shirt a little bit.
He's already naked and wet.
He starts looking at there, but when he enters the shower room, he can see that she's been mounted and impaled on the fucking shower head so that it's coming through her mouth now in front of him.
It's like, man. And then he starts taking off his clothes and getting the shower through her mouth.
He's like, well, I'm here to shower. I guess I better get clean.
And put my dick over my shoulder.
So the police chief is about to be at the coal mine when he gets another call and then turns around. So now the police chief is leaving the site where he's most needed because he's not sure where Harry Warden is now. Now, a bunch of the partygoers decide to go check out the mine. TJ says, hey, I think this is a bad idea. Don't go down there. Them's against the rules. But the six of them go anyway, led by Fat Tommy Simbazo Hollis.
Wouldn't, they wouldn't listen to my sash.
They hop in the mine cars and they go down the pipeline, which is honestly the biggest, like, white people shit is, like, they get to the bottom of it and they were like, you hear this right here?
Hey, where does that go?
Oh, that leads to an abandoned part. We don't go down there anymore.
Oh, take us on a tour, Hollis.
Yeah,
way to go. White people shit right here. This is the whitest of white people shit. There's no way you send any other ethnicity down there like, ooh, the abandoned part. Ooh, are there rapes and murders down there?
Show us where all the old miners died over there.
Yeah, it's so fucking retarded. But
is that the part that's completely haunted and you hear dead miners all the time?
Yes, it's fucking a bad idea, Jeremy, 100%.
Show us where the shaft that leads to the underground people that live under the earth and are now chuds now and eat humans.
So out of the six of them, two of them decide to break off into one of like the little side rooms of this abandoned part to have some Fred Durst style nookie. And because nothing says, man, I'm fucking horny. And I want to make love in an abandoned mine shaft.
I don't want to mention any names, but maybe like there's some guy down in this mine that might actually know where like lots of mushrooms are growing somewhere down there.
Oh, okay. You're going back to Hollis? Yeah. Okay, I like where you're at.
I'm not mentioning any names, no.
So, now, meanwhile, back above ground, the main party, they find the hot dog boy who's in the thing and the shower girl, of course. Luckily, Axel, the voice of reason, tries to calm everybody down.
Somebody's killed her! It's Harry! Harry Warden, he's here. Everybody get the fuck out. Go! Go!
Everybody kick and scream and push your way out.
Get out of here, you dumb idiots. Run! Oh, you're all dead. So
I hate to say, I did remember just enough to this of this movie to actually know who was what. And watching it a second time actually does make it more interesting.
Oh, okay.
Much like, you know, some movies, once you see it once, you're like, okay, we know what's going to happen and everything. No, you watch it and you see it from a different perspective.
Yeah. I think, you know, doing this show, I think is we're really starting to see all the movie tropes that come into play. Like, I feel like we have a vast knowledge of the industry at this point.
Like, you know, most movies will give hints as to, you know, what and what, but this movie barely any hints.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
Like,
not
even if you know what's up, you're like, oh, okay, that's barely a hint that they gave. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah, they give you the barest minimum. It's not super obvious. Although I had never watched the original, I'd seen the remake, and I don't even remember that vividly. And I guessed the killer just because of how this person died. I get it. That's got to be him.
I don't even think that the original Friday the 13th actually shimped what's her name's hands so you could see it's a woman's hands as the killer. So either way.
So they try to call the police, but the phone lines are cut. As everybody's leaving, TJ goes and tells them, say, hey, find the police chief, send him over here. Harry Warden's down there with the rest of the other six people. We need him here ASAP.
Did you ever find out TJ's last name?
Booker?
Hooker.
Ah, there you go. Yes, all right.
TJ Hooker.
Axel and TJ decide to team up because Sweet Sarah is part of that group that went down there with the rest of them. So now the love triangle is now fucking reunited in the love to save Sarah.
And somebody's already fucking down in the mine. So.
Yeah, and there's people fucking down in the mine. Axel takes the main part. TJ goes to take the abandoned part to go find them. Now, meanwhile, Howard, Sarah, and the fat guy who looks like Tommy Simbazo and the other girl venture deeper into the mine. They hear a commotion behind them. It's actually Harry Warden who's just smashing the lights and they can't see him. Meanwhile, we get to see the police chief get warned about what's going on in the mine.
How many times have I told you not to
come? Listen to me. You have to go to the mine. We were having a party and Harry Warden started killing everybody.
Harry Warden
is at the mine. There's a bunch of kids trapped down below. Axel and TJ are trying to get them out.
He killed Sylvie and Dave.
All right, get back in that car and get home and stay put. Go on.
Did I ever tell you about my other favorite movie about mining?
Oh, no, you didn't.
But it's actually with aliens. It's called Enemy Mine.
Enemy Mine.
Yeah, so.
Akma! Mickey Mouse! Mayonnaise!
Good Enemy Mine reference. Listen, there's some of them I get, and like I can't see them coming. That one blindsided.
I want you to quit mayonnaise. I got nowhere to go but Enemy Mine! I love gerbils!
The chief then warns the mayor, and now they're sending the whole cavalry in the direction of the mine. Meanwhile, the others are trying to find the other two fuck bunnies that have just broken off from them. In the meantime, they run into TJ, who tells them, we got to get the fuck out of there. Harry Warden is up top, and we can see just how much TJ sounds like Roddy Piper.
Can I say how hot his girlfriend looks in this?
How hot?
Like the mom from the 70s show.
I mean,
the hairstyle.
Fuck, dude. I'd fuck off top. But here's a little clip of TJ freaking out, and I find that he sounds so much like a dead WWE star of the movie They Live, Roddy Piper.
What are you talking? Harry's dead. Harry died a long time ago.
You shut up and listen to me, goddammit. Now, they're dead, and he's down here somewhere. If you want to get out of here alive, you do exactly as I tell you.
Mama don't like tattletales.
Do? This better not be your idea of a joke, TJ.
Do I look like I'm joking?
And her formaldehyde face.
Come on, let's go.
Wait a minute now. What about Mike and Harriet?
The last time I saw them, they were in the engine room. You check the main shaft. I'll take tunnel 6 and meet you there.
Shafts.
So, They go and do more white people shit, which is spread out from one another so they can get picked off one by one. Smart move on TJ's part. The other Fat Hollis and TJ split up, and Howard stays with the girls, our comic relief guy. Hollis finds them, but they're impaled to each other mid-coitus. Like, he's fucking full pen inside of her, but now there's a giant spike that is permanently joining the two together.
You know, that's the worst form of fornication, when you get impaled while having sex.
Yeah.
Like any good Friday the 13th film.
But all of a sudden, Hollis sees fucking Harry Warden coming at him with a goddamn nail gun. And Hollis catches two orgasmic nails to the dome as he just sounds like he's about to bust.
Well, you know, he didn't fornicate, but he did get nailed. So
he with these two nails in his head, he staggers off. Howard and the girls hear some noises and are startled, but it's only Hollis who collapses right in front of them with nails in face.
Now, don't get me wrong, is it a little clue in this that Hollis doesn't have his headlamp on anymore?
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe that's a little fucking trick.
I noticed that. I was like, oh, I like that. Another little clue.
But their shock is replaced by fear as they look down the hallway and they see Harry Warden walking right towards them. But then he takes a little detour through a small opening in the wall. Howard goes and just fucking runs. He just leaves these bitches like, see you later. fuck these girls straight up and down. Leaves them. And they go to rip the light off of Hollis, who still has a light attached to like his side. But Sarah has to slap Patty, who just is freaking out the entire time. And just as they do that, Axel comes out of nowhere and is just like, hey, what are you bitches doing? What's going on? Hey, Sarah, how's it going? And then the three of them start to make their escape to the surface. Next, they hear someone coming, and Axel arms himself as somebody's about to come around the corner. And just as he whacks this giant board into this figure, it ends up being TJ, who catches this to the gut. The four of them have a good laugh about it, and now they all start moving onward and out of the mine. Now, up top, the chief arrives on the scene, but the elevator is broken. Harry Warden has completely disabled it. Below, they start to climb the ladder towards the surface, but Patty, our fucking hysterical woman, cannot calm down. Like, it literally gets to the point where somebody has to climb behind her and just helping her fucking move up. Sarah helps her out in that process. Then all of a sudden, they see a body that gets thrown up above them, and it's Howard's body, the guy who ran off from earlier. He's fucking hung from the neck, and the force of the throw actually completely decapitates his head off as the body drops at the bottom of the steps, and they decide, you know what? Ladder wasn't a good idea. Let's just go back down.
My favorite part of that scene is the money shot where the blonde girlfriend gets sprayed in the face, Sarah. So.
Yeah. So Sarah gets fucking laced by that. So the four of them decide to go take a shortcut to get to the mine cars, because apparently the mine cars can equalize this whole thing. That's TJ's plan. I guess he knew about how Donkey Kong Country works before before it ever came out.
Or Bagman.
Fucking Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Who knows? Who knows what he knows? But they hear Axel get taken out as they're going back over this rickety bridge. They go back to look at Axel, and all they can see is his light being falling into the deep. Falling down 60 feet of water.
He's not coming back up from that.
He's as good as dead. We'll never see him again. Goodbye and good riddance.
He's already down 10 feet. He's as good as gone.
Guess I never have to fight for my girl again. So they all head forward, but...
Thankfully, my little dick wins.
But TJ has a little bit... Oh, here's a little bit of TJ looking at that light going down.
Move it! It's too late for Axel. Come on.
So
when that axle goes down in the water, you hear this, again, Axl Rose dies. Oh, sorry.
So TJ goes and tells the girls to then head ahead, go ahead, but hug the wall while he goes to try to fire up the mine carts. So TJ goes and into this hatch and disappears as you can hear him starting to rev the motor. But as they're walking towards the mine carts, you get this. Sweet Patty catches it to the goddamn torso.
You know, everybody knows about Hitler's book called Mein Kampf, but not many people know about his funny book called Mein Farts.
Mein Farts.
Or is it just a book about his farts?
Mein Farts in Nugen.
That's what really made him popular. So.
Dude, Mein Farts is a good... I like Mein Farts for some reason.
All the Nazis love my jokes about farts.
Oh, do you love Mein Farts?
They smell like strychnine.
No one ever talks about Mein Gout. That's I lived with it for the last years. Me and Ava, I always had the gout, and it looks green on the commercials, no? All right, that's the best Hitler.
I'm sorry I messed up your Nazi party.
So Patty catches the fucking pickaxe to the torso. Sarah is now all alone. She runs into TJ once again. TJ has some blood running down his head, says he got hit in the back. Makes TJ look rather suspicious. Sarah and TJ go and head forward. TJ fiddles with the minecart controls a little bit and gets it started right before Harry closes in on them. They hop on the minecarts and they start climbing from car to car as fuck. And Harry Warden is fucking beating down on them. They do basically a Mortal Kombat style pickaxe shovel fight on these minecarts that are moving ridiculously slow. Like, you could just walk out. Like, I look at the minecarts and I'm like, they do that because they have like lots of gear and like shit they have to haul up. Why are you not just walking up the hill?
Why don't you just get out and walk to ahead of them?
Yeah. But,
by the way, I knew a real German once. And I thought it was funny because in a scene from the movie, the Val Kilmer movie called, Top Secret.
Okay.
Just to say something funny in German that nobody would know, I said this to this German guy because it's like, Ich liebe dich, mein Schatz. Which means, I love you, my prize. And I said it to this. I said it to this German guy, and he looked at me like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" Like, he didn't think it was funny at all. That's the thing the Nazis say. So,
yeah, you know, they love that shit.
So if you watch the movie Mein Schatz, when the commandant leaves, the guy's like, "Ich liebe dich, mein Schatz." Which Germans don't think is funny. So,
as they're doing this Mortal Kombat with both axe and pickaxe and shovel, they end up getting thrown from the moving cart that has to be moving at least 3 miles per hour. Yes. I mean, dangerous speeds that we're seeing.
Just
here.
Like Temple of Doom. People compare the two movies and they say, Temple of Doom, that was awesome. This movie sucks. So.
Sarah then easily just steps off because it's not moving very fast to go and assist TJ in his battle
had
here.
Had I had the time during this, I would have redone the soundtrack while they were fighting on the card, like, we're blue collar miners fighting for our girl, yeah.
But
I didn't make the time.
TJ narrowly avoids multiple pickaxe swings. He's backing down the mine now, heading the wrong direction. They find a danger keep out tunnel, and they immediately head into that little side tunnel. But
that's the one where everybody goes to die. Let's go there.
Yeah,
we're white.
They get in there, and Harry is just destroying parts of the mine around him, like hitting fucking support beams by accident, by missing shit. He gets his axe stuck and then pulls a fucking knife out of him. And then Sarah goes and pulls off the mask of the presumed Harry Warden to find out who the real man behind the mask is.
It's Hollis.
Axel.
It's Axel. And through the power of flashback, you see that Axel Axel actually watched his parents get murdered before his very eyes by Harry Warden himself. Traumatized by this, it's driven Axel to the point of madness to murder everyone
Axel
in the town.
Axel is the ultimate company man kid, so... So I'm going to avenge my company dad who was negligent and got people killed and had a guy strapped for 6 weeks trying to eat people. So.
That and that right there, that's capitalism and the America I want to live in, okay? That's what I need, is companies need the right to have mass murderers that try to kill... Anyway.
So everybody's like, hey, we should have figured it was Axel all the time. His dad got murdered and he saw him get happen before him. Why didn't we put two and two together? It might be him.
So they end up hitting him with a giant rock right after that, and then some of the mine collapses on top of Axel. Luckily, the cops are just showing up in time, and the chief tells them, hey, guess what? It isn't Harry Warden. And they're like, no shit, it's not Harry Warden. We know it's fucking Axel.
It's Mabel.
And they start to unpile the rocks to see Axel's hand has been completely severed from his body as they peek through the opening in the rocks to see Axel scurrying his way into an abandoned part of the mine.
Henniger, I'll be waiting in hell for you!
Harry, Harry, I'm coming. This whole fucking town is going to die! We're coming back, you bastards!
Sequel!
Sarah, be my bloody Valentine. Daddy gone away. Harry Warden made you pay.
You know, this is...
And that brings us to an end.
Can you pause it?
Of My Bloody Valentine. Just talk over it.
You know, this movie goes to show that if you ever see something horrible when you're a child, you turn up perfectly normal, like guys like Dexter or
yeah.
Dexter's brother. Or this. The other thing was when his hand comes out of the thing, it reminds me of Mad Max Road Warrior when the one guy dies from the car accident, but he still gives the finger as he's dying.
No, I dig that. I dig that, for sure. So that's it, Jer. That's it. Quentin Tarantino's favorite slasher
this
film
really
completed.
Good, this really good ending as he sings about Frodo and the nine fingers. So.
And you get the nine fingers before now. And if you want to get hacked by a big-ass pickaxe, you better see your parents murdered before your eyes.
And if you're going to go bobbing for wieners, make sure they're not boiling hot. Because you're going to boil your face off and get stuck in the refrigerator. And nobody will notice because they're drunk and they don't see a dead body in the refrigerator of death.
Oh, Jeremy, what a magical film we went over. My Bloody Valentine. Hey, check it out. You can watch it for like $3 on the YouTube. Hey, all things Eric Comedy can be found at Eric Comedy with a ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. Big show coming up March 28th for the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival.
Ellicott
Quality
Silly.
Time Live. Me, my sweet brother dressed as Pogo the Clown with Justin Schlegel and Joe Robinson. Come buy your tickets. We want to sell it out early. Do that shit. We need you guys. Jeremy, take us out.
Please come to Ellicott City before it gets destroyed by God again. Because comedy equals wrath.
My Bloody Valentine, Nutty Cannibal Valentine, you put a pickaxe through my heart. Your suit is blackable, your mask, you're unrecognizable. Yet you show me your tits. Are those weenies almost done? Are the clothes ready to run? What's that smell? Oh no, that's not bounce. Don't take your mask off for me. Not if you care for me. Your stupid boyfriend came back to town. Tonight I'm gonna kill like Bobby Flay. Each bloody Valentine is today. My bloody Valentine, brought to you by Tampax. Yeah. Soak that in, baby. Shibba shibba gal, flippin' now, meow. Bloody Valentine, gizzabizzle.